Hello and welcome to my latest match pod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out, say we want Glazers out. We're back action earlier today against Tottenham Hotspur in Aduna. It is quarter to 10. I'm out and about at a beer festival over in Atherton. So watch the game before the festival. This is just my quick resume of the game that took place earlier on today. As I say, a Manchester United victory, 2-0, four wins in a row for the Jason Wilcox regime. As I say, people are already saying ridiculously, but I'd just like to add, let's give Michael Cavett the job. As I say, it'll be the same people that said, let's give Ole Gunnar Solskjaer the job, and we saw exactly what happened there. As I say, 17 wins in a row, although I did concede to one of the people I was watching the game with today, maybe 14 wins, two draws in a defeat, he might get the job as well. So regards to the team, United picked the same starting 11 that played against Fulham, so that was Lemons in goal, back four of Dalot, Luke Shaw, Maguire and Martinez in centre-backs. Mainu and Casemiro with Bruno Fernandes further forward. Then it was Cunha, Ahmad and Mbeumo up front. And, you know, Spurs, I mean, United haven't been beating Spurs for 8 matches. I mean, as I say, last season was bad enough, but losing 4 times to Spurs, it's in 90 minutes, not even any extra time, though, as I say, the Bruno Fernandes sending off was a disgrace. And there was a sending off in today's game, but before the sending off, it was an even game. United had a few opportunities. Bruno Fernandes had a sort of just a with a miss hit shot. Casemiro with a long range effort that Vicario saved. Spurs were having similar problems going further up the pitch, where they just weren't getting their shots off very well. Both teams were like that. Conor Gallagher broke through at one point but didn't get enough purchase on the ball. Dominic Solanke had an opportunity but just couldn't. It was good play from Martinez. People talk about him being 5'9", but he used his physicality well to just sort of put off Solanke and just sort of take him down, basically. It wasn't a foul, it was just physicality, and he couldn't keep his foot in. And, you know, it was a very even game, a very open game, and Spurs, similarly to how Fulham did last week, were running through Manchester United's midfield. It did take just sort of a couple of passes and then they were sort of onto the back four. But then Romero and Casemiro went in for a challenge. Romero, he got the ball, but he followed through, took Casemiro down. It was low down, but it was low on the ankle. It was dangerous. It was forceful. To be honest, it was similar to the Dalot challenge. The ref doesn't give a red. VAR choke because it's a senior referee today. The referee was Michael Oliver. He gave the red. It was never going to get changed. I reckon if that was given as a yellow, I'm not sure the ref would have changed it either, because they don't have to say they can't make the decisions against Michael Oliver and Anthony Taylor. But that did change the game completely, really, because Spurs, what they needed to do then was basically just try to keep it tight. They weren't as dangerous going forward. The only opportunities that they did have were when Man United made mistakes and gave the ball away. And this was a massive opportunity for United, which they took advantage of with an excellent corner routine. In the 38th minute, Bruno Fernandes had run through and had a shot at goal, but it was deflected wide. Spurs did really well in regards to blocking shots and putting their bodies on the line. But from the corner, a corner, short one for Bruno Fernandes into Kobbie Mainoo, then to Mbeumo, who was completely unmarked on the edge of the box. I think that was the advantage of having, basically, Spurs only having 10 men, although it's good work in regards to the fact Spurs clearly thought that somebody was that the ball was coming, was going to be thrown in right on top of Vicario, who has struggled with corners sort of throughout the season that have been killed in right on top of him. They didn't even have anyone on the penalty spot. They had no one anywhere near Brian Mbeumo, and he just had to guide it. It didn't even need to pass. It just guided it into the corner there, loads of space, an excellent goal. And getting that goal was used to save the Everton game, which was an absolute disgrace, where United just didn't take advantage. They didn't take command of the game in regards when Everton went down to 10 men. Everton got the goal. They had something to hold on to. And from Spurs' point of view, 1-0 at half-time, you were probably thinking, you know, we just need to keep this tight. They did break away towards the end of the half again, United giving the ball away, but it wasn't the greatest of balls into Solanke. If it had been in his vanguard, he would have been sort of in probably about 15, 16 yards out with a clear shot on goal. But thankfully, the pass to him, I don't know, it could have been in Doggy, I'm not sure, was a poor pass through to him. Then into the second half, and basically, to be honest, fair play to Spurs. United needed to get that second. The sooner they got their second goal, the better. They could relax a little bit more. But Spurs were solid. They stopped. They made sure that they made it difficult for United. Ahmad did put the ball into the back of the net. United were trying to sort of make space on the flanks, but Spurs defended really well. Luke, as I say, a ball was put over for Luke Shaw, drilled it across, but Ahmad found himself in an offside position. But Spurs basically restricted United from that to basically shots from outside the box, which Vicario dealt with very well. And Spurs did have opportunities on the break, but United put themselves in good positions to make sure that they stopped Spurs. But the longer the game went on at 1-0, you were worrying and wondering, would United throw this away? And Spurs, they did make a substitution towards the end of the game, 10 minutes to go. They brought on some more, you know, forward to freshen up the forward players. I think they obviously just wanted to keep it tight. They didn't want to go 2 down or maybe 3 down. But United then, it's funny, it's amazing how this happens. They brought the players on. United broke up further up the pitch. Dalla found himself in space on the right-hand side. A crossover towards Sesko, who had come on, but he couldn't get to the ball. But Bruno Fernandes, a brilliant finish. It was sort of with his with his sort of shin. I think he timed that. He timed it for that, and I think Ali McCoist was sort of looking at it and was saying it should have been a finish. I'm not a big fan of commentary. Obviously, if you're watching the pub, you have to, you know, you have to deal with that kind of thing if they have the commentary on, which they did. They muted it straight after the game. I don't think they even had it on at half time. They muted it. They muted it then just for when the game was on. But it was a brilliant finish. Lovely cross from Dallo. Sesko can get to it. Bruno Fernandes coming in at the far post. As I say, United were trying to set those things up, really, sort of, with the extra man, and pulled into the corner. That Vicario, he got a hand to it, but he was going the other way. So I think he just couldn't change his direction in time. Got a hand to it and into the back of the net, and that was the game done. And Spurs' unbeaten run against Manchester United, the Spurs bocker, which is embarrassing enough. For Manchester United, I'd say 4 times in the season losing to Spurs. It's just absolutely awful. United say the game was even till the card. United got to take advantage, and as I say, you cannot have to take advantage of those situations, and you know, those little bits of things that go for you in games, you need to take advantage of them. And when you do get them happening in the game, you have to make sure you take the most of it, because plenty of things happen in football matches that don't go your way. And then say United just saw the game out nice and solidly, just keeping hold of the ball. I mean, Spurs weren't really trying to do too much of that. I think they thought to themselves, well, at 1-0, we've got to give it a go, but at 2-0, this game is over. And as I say, just after they made the substitution with the fresher players to come on, they should really have got a third with Sesko had an opportunity with a header. What he should have done, he should have just chested it and absolutely blasted it into the back of the net. But he headed it. It's like he thought there was a defender near him, but he was clear. It was clear that would have helped further with confidence. Obviously, getting that winner last week, fantastic for him. But you still want to see when he comes on to score more goals. But he looked dangerous when he did come on. He got into good positions. So I think what you'll probably find is in the next game, he will have to make do with coming off the bench, because he has been effective coming off the bench, because the players that have been starting the games have been playing well, so it's understandable that they're not subbed off. But that's, as I say, 4 wins in a row, as I say, for some people, give Michael Carrick the job, ridiculous. There's a lot more work, a lot more things to do, and this Manchester United side, with the players that they have, all very good when things are going well, but the actual step up is when things are not going well, and whether that leadership will be seen, and whether they can step up to the plate. And there's a lot more games left within this season another 13, I think, for Michael Carrick, all within the league. Next up, as I say, Spurs are an ex-team of Carrick's. And next up is another ex-team of his in West Ham. Probably the other, one of the form teams at the moment. They've had some good results. They won today against Burnley. So, and obviously they're in a relegation battle. But now only three. But now only 3 points behind Nottingham Forest in that position, and they will fancy their chances against Manchester United, because you know you've seen the how you can get at Manchester United, especially through the midfield. So it will be a case of United being stepping up. I think they've lost the last two or three games at the West Ham Stadium, and in absolutely shocking circumstances as well. But Michael Oliver was a major part in one of the defeats, as well as the players not basically wanting Erik ten Hag sacked, with the message that I'll talk about a couple of weeks later. Liverpool went to West Ham. They had similar amount of chances, but they put most of them away. Then they won 5-1, but the United players, when they want to step up, they can do. But they'll need to be ready against West Ham. They will be absolutely ready for that game. They're in good form. They've got players playing well, and Nuno's getting something out of them. And Nuno has caused United problems in the past, especially when he was at Wolves. So it's important for Manchester United to continue that. And as I say, after the West Ham game, they don't play for 2 weeks. So they need to end on a victory to build that up and get themselves up to five wins in a row. As I've said, Michael Carrick can have the job if he wins 17 games. As I say, slightly revised, 14 wins, 2 draws and a loss. But they need to keep winning, and there's lots of work that still needs to be done. As I say, what you will find and how it will be written up, it will be like, well, Michael Carrick's coming, everything's fine. As I say, go back to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He won his first 8 matches. He was given a contract before the end of the season by that absolutely clueless football, I want to say a C word or a T word, Ed Woodward, because it was good for PR. Jason Wilcox, let's say, well, I hope Jason Wilcox isn't that stupid, but he should also be doing his due diligence by looking at other managers to come in at Manchester United. And number one, don't allow these players to start making decisions for you. Because as I say, Jose Mourinho was sacked, Ole comes in, starts winning games. But Ole's the greatest. But those players actually got Jose Mourinho sacked because Ed Woodward thought, yeah, I'll just side with the players. Player power is still there at this football club, and big decisions need to be made. As I say, the Jason Wilcox regime, 4 wins in a row, but he's got a lot of work to do. And to be fair to him, I think he knows that. So, as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk. All pods via podcast platforms, Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, PCast, Podchaser, search MUFC Global and it will come up. I'll be back after the West Ham game. It's on a Tuesday night, so 2 games in a short period of time for Manchester United. We don't see that a lot, and they won't have many of them for the rest of the season, so they'll need to step up again, and I will be back after the West Ham game on Tuesday night.